Bibles tonight and go to 1 John, 1 John chapter 5, in the last chapter of this little book. And I believe as long as everything holds where it's holding, I think we're going to have two sermons left here and kind of divide chapter. And so the first one is just going over the first 12 verses here, and I've entitled it, Faith is the Victory. Pulled the title right from the text, and obviously we sing a hymn, Faith is the Victory as well. But I want to talk today about really the whole theme of the book of 1 John. There's a lot of things he talks about, and I think you've come to know that, but the theme, the overarching thought is assurance and eternality of salvation. Really, with all the other things he's talked about, much of what he's spoken of deals with assurance and eternality. So right here in chapter 5, these first 12 verses, what you're going to see is that he really emphasizes that theme. And he reiterates a lot of the things that he's already said, but basically comes to this conclusion. It is faith that has given us the victory, both in salvation and in the Christian life. So 1 John 5, let's read together verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. For some of you that don't know your begats and begottens, that means if you love the Lord, then you'll love the Lord's children. Okay, you love one another. That's what he's saying. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I know there's a lot in there. As you read those verses, you think, as a pastor, you think, okay, there's a sermon, there's a sermon, there's a sermon, there's a study, there's a study. But honestly, as I've studied this out, I believe there's a linear thought here dealing with our eternal security and assurance of our salvation. So let's pray. And I'll get into this this afternoon. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity again to preach. And I'm so grateful for those that are here. And I pray that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts this afternoon. And Lord, if there's anyone here or maybe someone that will listen that is struggling or has ever struggled with their salvation, Father, our prayer would be twofold. Number one, if they're not saved, that they would simply get saved and make that right and settle it once and for all. But Father, it could be that someone is saved and they're just struggling with their assurance. Lord, I pray that your word would speak to them, that you would give them assurance through the various witnesses that you give us here. And Father, I pray you help me in the preaching tonight. Give me the words to say and just clarity of thought. May your spirit once again lead and guide and help. And we'll ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in verses 1-3, John really begins by just reiterating about salvation, and he makes it very clear. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Salvation is as simple as faith in Jesus Christ. And I know there are some facts to the gospel, like the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is necessary, but belief on those facts is salvation. We need to know this because sometimes in the Christian life, and John's addressed some of this, so I won't take a lot of time here, but we know this, that sometimes we don't necessarily feel saved, right? We're struggling. We get up, the coffee maker's not working, the alarm is late, whatever. We get off on the wrong foot, someone cuts us off in traffic, someone says something to us, and it just gets our spirit all tangled up and twisted. And it, hopefully it takes more than that for you to start doubting your salvation. But, you know, I'm just trying to paint this picture of another thing that can happen. We just get away from the Lord. We get busy with life and we get away from the scriptures. And, you know, people can kind of float away in such a way that all of a sudden they're just not as sure about their salvation. And I'm thankful for this fact, and we've talked about it, that salvation is not based upon our feelings. It's not based upon our feelings. It's based upon the facts of the gospel and our faith in those facts. And one good example, I believe it was D.L. Moody who was preaching, and he was giving a testimony of how he witnessed to a man that was struggling with his salvation. The man said, you know, I just don't feel saved all the time. And D.L. Moody said to him, and he just kind of rehearsed this in a message, but he says, I said to him, do you think Noah was safe in the ark? And he said, sure, he was safe in the ark. We can read the story. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. Actually, he was in there about a year. But he said, do you think he always felt safe in the ark? I mean, could you imagine being in the ark? You've spent all this time, you built it. You're in there with a bunch of animals. And so it's like one of those family gatherings. No, I'm just kidding. You're in the ark with all the animals, and it's, you know, and then all of a sudden it starts raining. And rain's a new thing for you and for everyone. And you hear that water. Can you just imagine the sounds that the water must have made as it put pressure on that boat, and the popping and cracking, and they're floating around? And I mean, you just can imagine, and I'm sure they got used to some of that, but it wasn't their feeling that kept them safe, was it? No, it was that God had them in a safe place in the ark, and he sealed the door. And so our salvation is not based upon our feelings, but it's based upon facts. And that's what John, in these 12 verses, is he's just giving us fact after fact after fact. And then he comes to this conclusion. It's all about your faith, your belief, your acceptance of these facts. So first of all, he gives in the first couple of verses here what I'm just calling the birthmarks of the believer. So if you're a believer, you're going to have these birthmarks. You're going to have these indications in your life. And it's interesting, there's three of these that I can find here. But the first one is that you'll have a love for God. And he's already said this in chapter 4. We don't love God because, we love God because he is love and he first loved us. And so the fact that we have a love for God, it doesn't necessarily mean we are saved. It's an evidence. It's a birthmark. So if you look in your life and it's like, yes, I love God. Well, that's a birthmark. Well, then it says in verse 1, as I said there when I was reading, love of those who are begotten of him. If you have a love for your fellow believer, that's a birthmark of a believer, that you could, you know, love even the unlovable, right? Sometimes, and that's another indication that he gives. And then he says in verse 3 that we love God and we keep his commandments. And he says this, and his commandments are not grievous. So it's one thing to just sort of do what you think you got to do because you think if you don't do it, you're going to get whipped. It's another thing to think, no, I love the Lord. His commandments aren't grievous. In fact, I can joyfully serve the Lord. Well, that's another birthmark of the believer. So he gives us a couple things, loving God, loving those that are also of God, and keeping his commandments with joy, or doing his commandments with joy. Those are sort of the birthmarks of the believer. Now, if we look in verse 4, he gets down to the principal issue here in the text, which is salvation and assurance based upon our faith. So he says in verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our feelings. Right? No. Hopefully your Bible says faith, right? Even our faith. So verse 4, how do we have victory, whether it be, and we'll get into a little bit of implications, but how do we have victory, first of all, over or with our salvation? Victory and salvation, it comes through faith. Someone must place their faith in Christ. It's simply coming and believing. And once they do that, guess what? They now have victory over death and hell and the sin that they were forgiven of. That faith gives them victory. And by the way, we have the same victory in this life and are able to overcome the world based upon our faith. Who is it that can have the victory? We'll look at verse number 5. It's the believer. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So the believer can exercise faith and have victory. You can never take faith out of the salvation equation. You can't. If you take faith out of the salvation equation, you negate salvation. And there's a lot of, if you, let me give a couple examples.
If you're Calvinist in your thinking, you think that I don't have to repent or believe God because he's already chosen me. You know what you've just done? You've taken faith and repentance out of salvation. That's what you've done. You no longer have to believe. You no longer have to change or repent, change your mind. But here's the problem. Romans 10 tells us the two elements of salvation are exactly that, faith and repentance. And so, again, we can't remove faith from the equation. In John chapter number 3, just take your Bibles back to John chapter number 3 for just a second. I want to show you. And there's a lot of basically anything that's not true Christianity has in some way messed up the gospel. But if we add works, see, if we add works to our salvation, then all of a sudden I'm removing that element of faith because now I'm earning it, right? I'm not trusting God for what he's doing. No, I'm trusting myself. I'm earning it. And so when we remove faith from the equation, we lose salvation. We won't lose our salvation. We lose the doctrine of salvation. It messes up the doctrine of salvation. John chapter number 3, of course, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he's really trying to figure things out. So he asked Jesus just to look at verse number, let's just go to verse 1. There was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, when Nicodemus asked this, don't be too hard on him. We were taught what it means to be born again. And just think about what Jesus, if he told a man, hey, you got to be born again. Hey, first time didn't take, try again. And Nicodemus says, How is that even possible that I could be born again? Now, notice what the Lord says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's your physical birth, and of the Spirit, that's that second birth, that spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So he's telling him, no, there's got to be a spiritual birth in your life. You already have the water birth, the physical birth, but there has to be a time and a place where you are born again. You're taken from that old man of sin and made a new creature. Now, here's what's interesting. They're talking about birth, and they're talking about, you might say, physical things, but Jesus turns the conversation from the facts of the gospel, the facts, he turns it to faith. Okay, look at verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He's saying, is it so hard to believe, Nicodemus? Because here's Nicodemus' trouble. He's having a hard time believing. You say, why do you say he's having a hard time believing? If you'll read the rest of chapter 3, Jesus talks about you're going to have to believe. John 3:16, this is what's interesting. John 3:16 may be the most popular verse in the whole world, right? More people around the world probably know John 3:16 than any other verse. Can you imagine being Nicodemus? He was the first one Jesus said it to. They're sitting there having this conversation, and he's like, oh, no, whosoever believeth in him. So it'd be interesting. Because there's no break in the conversation. Jesus is just teaching, and he turns the conversation from the facts to the faith in the gospel. Verse number 8, he talks to him about faith. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know, he's talking, that sounds a whole lot like Hebrews 11, verse 1. It talks about faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So Jesus telling him, you have to have faith. You're going to have to believe what I'm telling you. And then he goes on to explain himself in that passage, that he would be lifted up, that he loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten. And so the whole point here is, hey, Nicodemus, the issue is faith. Do you believe? Do you believe? Now, we're going to get back to that, but go to 1 John again, and we'll get back to this idea of faith. We're going to, it's one of those sandwich messages where you got the bread, the meat, and then another piece of bread. Okay, we'll get back to that in just a minute. But go to 1 John real quick. And I want you to see here that we would say this. We accept Christ by faith, but it's not a blind faith, okay? God has given us evidence, and that's what I just read there. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you hear the wind, but you can't see it. You know it's there. The leaves are blowing around. That's evidence. You believe in something you can't see because there's evidence there of it. So where's the evidence? Well, there's so many. The evidence for God, there's so many. But in 1 John 5, verses 1 through 12, what you're going to see is this passage is just full of sufficient witnesses that the gospel saves if you believe it. It's just sufficient witness after sufficient witness. So let me share with you what the Bible says, and we're going to get to 1 John. I know that's where you are. But let's ask ourselves this. What makes a sufficient witness? And someone in here probably knows the answer. The Bible says where in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, right? So let me read you some verses. Matthew 18, 16, in the context of settling a dispute. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Okay, good principle. Two or three witnesses. So let's keep reading. In confirming a truth, 2 Corinthians 13, 1. This is the third time. Here's what Paul said. This is the third time I'm coming to you. You know, that's like when you tell your kids, this is the third time I've said this, right? And he says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. In receiving an accusation, 1 Timothy 5, 19, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. When delivering a guilty verdict, Hebrews 10, 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. So the Bible consistently speaks to the importance of multiple witnesses. Now here in 1 John 5, because again, we're dealing with this idea that it may be that someone is questioning, well, is it all what it's supposed to be? Is my belief, is it true? Am I really saved? Well, what John's going to give us is sufficient witness. So in verse 6 and 7, the first threefold witness is in heaven. So there's a threefold witness in heaven. Look at verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. That's why I connect this passage back to John 3, because similar things are being spoken of. Of course, John wrote John 3 as well. But he says, not by water only, but by water and blood. And there's a testimony that Jesus came, he was born of water, and then he also died, the blood, he came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. And it says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And so he says, here's something that happened. Jesus came by water and by blood. So he was born a virgin. The Spirit, by the way, gave witness to the fact that he was born a virgin. It says in Luke 1:35, the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That was the Holy Spirit that said that. The Holy Spirit was there and witnessed not only the virgin birth of Christ, but the life of Christ. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Right there at the baptism of Christ, you have Father, Son, and Spirit. It's a threefold witness. Then we have the blood. So we have the Spirit. We have the blood. Obviously, the blood is not just the birth and life of Christ, but now the blood refers to the atoning work of Christ on the cross. And the Spirit was witness to the death of Christ, Hebrews 9, 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know that verse that talks about, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So I think that's 2 Corinthians 5, 20. And he's in that passage, you see that God was in Christ But not only that, in this passage, we see that the Holy Spirit was involved there at the crucifixion of Christ. So at the birth of Christ, there's the threefold witness, Father, Son, and Spirit. In the life of Christ, there's a threefold witness, Father, Son, and Spirit. And at the death of Christ, there is a threefold witness, Father, Son, and Spirit. So he says here in verse number 6 and 7, there are three that bear record in heaven. There's a threefold witness in heaven regarding the gospel. Okay? Not only that, there's a threefold witness in the earth. Look at verse 8 and 9. And there are three that bear record, that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He's saying this, that if we believe the things that man says, believe what God says, and there's three witnesses in heaven, now there's three witnesses also on earth. First of all, the Spirit. The Spirit is the witness on earth. John 16, verse 7 through 11, I won't read the whole passage, but you can read John 14, 15, and 16. And what you're going to find out is that the Holy Spirit is on earth today reproving the world of sin. He's on earth today indwelling the believer. He's on earth today guiding and teaching. There's so many things that the Spirit of God is doing, but the person of God on earth is found in the Holy Spirit. So one witness on earth is the Holy Spirit. We have this witness today. We have access to the Holy Spirit. He's operating in the consciences of man. If you are saved today, he has indwelt you, and he's in you and with you, and he is a witness here on earth. Then it says the water. The water. Remember, when it referred to the water just a second ago, it's talking about the life and ministry of Christ. And when we compare that word water with other places in the Scripture, what we find is that water is definitely referring to Jesus' life, his ministry. But Jesus in John 1 is called the Word of God, right? John 1, the Word of God. And then Ephesians 5:26 says that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Did you know, not only do we have the Holy Spirit on earth, so get this, in heaven, Father, Son, and Spirit were witnesses of the birth, life, death of Christ. In earth now, we have the Holy Spirit of God here, and he's on the earth, and he's reproving the world of sin. He is a witness, but then we have this. The Word of God, the water of the Word. We have the Word of God that is a witness here on earth. And honestly, the Word of God is, we find a passage in, it's in Luke 16, where the rich man and Lazarus are, you have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And if you remember, of course, Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom. The rich man lifts up his eyes, being tormented. He finds himself in hell. And the rich man's prayer was just go and witness to my brothers. Remember? And you know what? He said, send Lazarus over there. Because if someone would come from the dead, maybe he would believe. And you know what? You remember what they said to him? They said, if he won't believe the prophets, he won't believe even if someone comes back from the dead. Now, that's not the KJV. I didn't read that. I'm just remembering the story, all right? But he's saying, if they won't believe the Word of God, they're not going to believe someone coming rising from the dead. The Word of God is the witness. So we have the Holy Spirit on earth. We have the Word of God as the witness. And then we have the blood. So it says there in 1 John, there are three witnesses in earth, the Spirit, the water, the third one's the blood. The cross of Jesus Christ, folks, even to the atheist, even to the Jesus hater, the cross of Jesus Christ stands forever in our history. Our calendar is situated around the cross, the coming of Jesus. No one in history has ever impacted the world and changed the world that Jesus did. It continues to save, transform the lives today. It is an evidence that is, I'm just telling you, there's no event ever on the earth that has ever been more substantiated and more life-changing than the cross. And so here on the earth, we have the testimony of the cross, the blood that was shed for our remission of sins. We have that. And you say, why is it such a big deal? Listen, do you realize Rome crucified thousands of people? But we don't know any of them. None of them made an impact on us. No, people have been executed. Many notable Christians executed. We never knew their names. But everyone knows Jesus' name. It wasn't a normal thing. It was God in the flesh being slain for the sins of the whole world. So on earth, so in heaven, we have the Father, Son, Spirit. On earth, we have the Spirit, the Word of God, or the water, and the blood, the witness of the cross. Now, look in verse 10. Verse 10 tells you that we have a witness in the heart of the believer. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So the Christian then has this witness in himself. So you have the witness of the Holy Spirit in you. So you have, here's what's happening. The Father, Son, Spirit in heaven are saying, this gospel is true. The witnesses on earth, the Spirit and the cross, the testimony of the cross and the Word of God all lead us to the truth. And then if you're a believer, you have that Spirit in you also confirming that this witness is true. Now, here's what's interesting about you. You're a trichotomy. Now, listen, I didn't call you a bad name there, right? I'm just referring to what Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5 and verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know what we are? We're spirit, soul, and body. And that witness is in you. He saved all parts, right? We were getting ready tomorrow to do a memorial service for Miss Lavona. And so if you're able to come and be an encouragement to the family. But you understand we're going to commit her body to the ground, but God's not done with her body. He's going to redeem that body as well. And we believe in a bodily resurrection. There's more parts to you than just the body, though. There's the spirit and the soul. And so that's a threefold witness. So here's the deal. The Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. He's given us in these verses threefold witnesses. I mean, it's a sure thing. We could even add, and he didn't really, I don't add these because he didn't really emphasize these particularly, but even those birthmarks of the believer, he gives us three of them before we ever get started. And so over and over, I believe what he's saying is your salvation, it's true. The gospel of Christ is true. He was born of a virgin. He did live a perfect life. He did die on the cross for your sins. He did rise from the dead. And there are witnesses of it everywhere. So what's the hang up? Faith. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Notice this. The question is this. Well, all these witnesses, do you believe it? When I talk to someone who's dealing with assurance of salvation, I always get to this question. Well, do you believe it? I mean, because the Bible says he died for you. The Bible says if you ask him to save you, he will. Do you believe it or not? Assurance is really that simple. How do you get victory in this area of life? Faith. Do you believe it? I was reading a story of a man who was scared of airplanes. He didn't like to go on airplanes. And one time he had to fly, and someone said, "Well, how did you get through it?" And he said, "I just never put all my weight down." Now, okay, I'm just going to quit the jokes, all right? Yeah, he said, I didn't put all my weight down. And you know that's silly, right? You can imagine a guy like, "I'll just sit lightly and this thing will fly." That's not faith. You came in that pew, and especially on a Sunday afternoon, you plopped down. This pew better hold me. You had faith that it would. I was sitting in a sermon one time, and a preacher was preaching the gospel, and he preached an awesome message. Just John 3:16 was his text. He preached an awesome message on the gospel. But he really hammered down on that word believeth. Whosoever believeth. What does that mean? And he told a story of a apartment that was on fire, and there was a little kid on about the third story window, and the kid is sitting in the windowsill just like this, and the flames are behind him, and the longer that the fire goes, the the hotter that it gets, and he can feel the flames on his neck even, and he's scared and he's crying, and dad's right down there. And dad just keeps telling him, just jump. Just jump, son, you got to jump. You can't stay there. You're going to get hurt. You got to jump. And you know, if he stays there, he burns. What does he have to do to get to safety? He has to completely let go of the ledge. He has to propel himself off of that ledge, and he is putting his faith all in dad. That's what faith is. It's I'm giving up my effort here, and I am placing my faith in Jesus. The question is, do we believe it? Do we believe he really did come, he really did die, he really did rise from the dead, he really will save us? Do we believe it? If we believe it, we can sleep peacefully. You got to put all your weight down. You got to go all in. You got to hop out of that window. That's what faith is. Putting your full trust in someone. To be saved, you must believe. Faith is the victory. It's just we do this all the time. Someone goes in for surgery somewhere. You know what you're doing? You're putting all your faith. Now listen, we're Christians, so we pray real hard for the surgeon. Right? We pray for the nurse. We pray for everybody. You know, but at some point, you lay down. I've only done it once. And they say, all right, count backwards. And I'm like, you know, just so you can make fun of me like everybody. You know, you put your faith in their hands. You're just hoping, okay, they got me. They're going to fix the problem. They're going to wake me back up. That's exercising faith. Many Christians don't have assurance of salvation, and it's just a matter of, well, do you believe? Do you believe what they're saying in heaven? Do you believe the witnesses on earth? Do you believe the testimony in yourself? Do you believe? Faith is the victory. At some point, you got to come to the place where you just believe God for what he says. It's not up to me. I don't feel saved. It's not about my feelings. Now, I love those days when I feel saved. And I can hear the Lord, and he's, you know, and it should be that way every day. But man, if you ask him to forgive you, can I tell you, he forgave you. If you did, I mean, if you really ask him to forgive you, believing on him, he forgave you. Trust him and move on. It's really that simple. Faith is the victory. But tonight on, you know, Sunday afternoon, I know my crowd. So let's talk for just a moment about after we believe, it still takes faith to please him. It still takes faith to get up every day and try to live for Christ. It still takes faith to face the world out there and to try to have a good testimony. It still takes faith to do things God's way, because God is continuously, I wouldn't say testing in a bad way, but he's continually putting our faith to the test. And I was talking to someone the other day, and it was kind of like, this conversation is like, well, I wish we knew all the ins and outs of it. And I said, well, if we knew the ins and outs of it, we wouldn't have to exercise any faith. Why does God never tell us all the ins and outs? Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so, Christian, we always, and this is me, I'm preaching right to myself. I like to know what's about to happen. I like to know all the ins and outs. I like to figure it out. I like to leave very little room for variables. I found this out. God doesn't work that way. And if I do plan it all out, it don't happen that way. Because he requires that we live by faith. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk ye in him. We receive him by faith. We have to live by faith. So it's by faith. You say, well, how do I do what God expects me to do? I just trust him. And I put one foot in front of the other. I just trust him, and I just do the very next thing right. Tomorrow is a new day where I'll have to trust him, and there's a world to overcome. And he says, well, who is it that can overcome the world? Well, it's the believers. And how are they going to overcome the world? It's because they're going to exercise faith. How can I witness to this person? Man, they might get all bent out of shape if I witness to them. There's been a whole lot of times where I've known the Spirit wanted me to witness to someone, but I just had no idea what to say. And so what you do is you just obey and you have faith and you just go and you start talking. And you know what happens? God takes over. He helps. He 2 seconds later, you're not fearful at all, and you're just sharing with them very simply how they can be saved, and it's a wonderful thing. But you got to exercise enough faith to do that. So the overcomer overcomes by believing, by having faith in the Lord. So the facts are in. There's plenty of evidence. The witnesses, all of them, the three sets of three witnesses are all true. The question is this: do we believe it? Faith is the victory. Do we believe it? Assurance of salvation, you just got to boil it down to, do I believe what God says or not? Christian life, do I believe what God says or not? So we're going to close a little bit differently. I'm going to have Brother Wayne come, because we have a hymn called Faith is the Victory. So we're going to stand together and turn to page 418. Thank you. I have 157 written down for some reason. I know that's not right. 418, and we're going to sing together, Faith is the Victory. So everybody stand with us, wake back up, and we'll sing this, and then we'll close out.